Psalm chapter 16 is referred to as a Miktam of David. It is one of several Miktam Psalms. Chapters 56 to 60 are Miktam Psalms also. The word Miktam means to engrave or sculptured writing. It comes from a noun meaning gold. This psalm has been referred to as the Golden Psalm. It is worthy of being written in gold. The Miktam Psalms end on a triumphant note. They preserve the idea of resurrection. The setting or background of the psalm is believed to be the time when David was fleeing from Saul. He has been driven away from his material inheritance. The psalm would be read when a person was afraid or discouraged, which many people are these days. Psalm chapter 16 is also a messianic psalm with a prophetical response to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, this chapter is a sponge that is full of truth, ready to be squeezed for its spiritual nourishment. Let us begin to dig into this psalm. Psalm 16, verse 1 says, Miktam of David, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. In thee do I put my trust? Preserve me. David says, preserve me, O God. In the Hebrew, the word for preserve is Shema, which means to guard, to keep watch, to protect, to tend the flock. It's translated in a variety of ways in the following verses. Genesis 3:24 tells us this. So he drove out the man and placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden. Cherubim and a flaming sword which turned the way every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Shema is translated keep in this verse. Genesis 4:9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. And my brother's keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? The word keeper comes from Shema. Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Shema, once again, forms the word watchman in this passage. Psalm 59:9. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. The words wait upon are from Shema. David is asking God to be his keeper, his watchman, and to wait upon or care for him. What a beautiful concept. That God is our keeper. God is our watchman. That we can wait upon God. That God will care for us. David understands, and I hope you and I do, that true peace and security are not found in anything else except the Lord. They are not found in our abilities, it's not found in people, in money, in weapons, but in God. This is golden nugget number one. The word for God in verse one is the Hebrew word El, E-L. Which means the omnipotent, all-powerful one, or the creator. David says, in thee, do I put my trust. This is not something done on the spur of the moment, or a last-minute decision. It has been a habit in David's life for some time to trust in the Lord. Is it your habit? True faith does not call upon the Lord when in trouble, and then neglects him when all is okay. True faith is consistent in good times as well as bad. This is another nugget of truth. True faith is consistent in good times as well as bad times. Why is it that so many of us, we don't call upon the Lord until we're in trouble, until we're jammed up? We are supposed to, brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God, be praising God every day, worshiping Him every day, adoring Him every day. Worshiping God is not, well, I go to church on Sunday morning and punch the clock for an hour, though. That's not worshiping God. Worshiping God is 24/7. Preserve me, keep me, watch over me. O Sovereign One, Omnipotent One, for in You I put my trust. David saying, in Thee do I put my trust, take refuge. We're supposed to do this. Our refuge is to be in the Lord for several reasons. Let's begin to look at them. He promises protection according to His will. Psalm 91, 9 through 12. Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation, You dwell there. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Our Lord is watching over us, even in those times when we can't see a solution to our problems or don't know what decision to make. Let me give you an illustration. The early American Indians had a unique practice of training their young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, and fishing skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick forest, and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke, and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away. Armed with a bow and arrow, it was his father. He had been there all night long. Our Lord, brothers and sisters, is watching over us too. No matter where you would find yourself today, God is watching over us. He is our protector. And not only is He our protector, He's a persistent protector, a persistent refuge. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. The words "very present" means exceedingly abundantly. He, brothers and sisters, is our refuge and strength. Put no confidence in men or women or governments or systems or money or mammon. In You, O Lord, I put my trust. Preserve me. Watch over me, Lord. Preserve me, O God, for in You I put my trust. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. But men have a tendency to put their trust in the wrong things. Where are you putting your trust today? Is it in your worth, your righteousness? Ezekiel 33:13 says this, "When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Brothers and sisters, we have no righteousness of our own. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. God says, our righteousness is filthy. Are you trusting in your own righteousness, your own worth today? Or are you crying out for God to preserve you? For God to be your refuge? Are you putting trust in God? Righteousness is not going to work. Our works, our abilities is not going to work. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Our works will not save us or get us to heaven. Your righteousness won't do it. Your works won't do it. Your worth won't do it. And your wealth won't do it. Psalm 49:6-7. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You've trusted in your money all your life. You trusted in wealth and power. Those that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in a multitude of riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. This is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. God makes it clear, we are not to trust in riches. And I got to say, right now, in the West, during this coronavirus pandemic, riches ain't looking too good, y'all, is it? That you would have your hope in riches or in your schemes, your plans, your manipulations, your maneuvers. In a moment of time, the Lord is shutting it all down. You made idols out of sports, he shut down the arenas. You made idols out of musicians, he shut down the big halls to gather in. You wanted to worship the actors and the actresses, the Lord shut down the theaters. You worship your money, the Lord is destroying the economies throughout the world. You think, you planned, you schemed, and you thought that the Lord was not watching. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Maybe you have trusted in your strength, your military, your weapons. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are to look to Christ and Christ alone. There's no hope outside of Christ. Only Christ will preserve you. Only Christ you are to put your hope in. My friend, if you're listening today, you've never come to Christ, you've never repented of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says to repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Whosoever will come, come, come. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. That's where you find eternal life. That's where you find payment for your sin, that in Christ, Christ was the atonement. Christ shed his blood to appease the wrath of Almighty God. The wrath of God is being poured out day by day on this world, and is being poured out on every person outside of Christ. But the good news of the gospel is, even as the thief on the cross, the last day of his life, he cried out to Christ, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Christ told that thief on the last day of his life, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And if you will call out to Christ today to remember you, for he has come into his kingdom, then Christ would say to you today that you will be in paradise with me. And if you, brothers and sisters, are listening and you're a child of God and you have been putting your hope in any of those things that I've mentioned, if you put your hope in our warriors, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Stop looking to the leaders. The leaders won't deliver you. The weapons won't deliver you. Only God will deliver you. Your money's not going to deliver you. Your works are not going to deliver you. Your righteousness is not going to deliver you. Only God Almighty. Brothers and sisters, we need to repent of our sins, because we have all trusted in those things one way or the other. Trusting in the princes, in the warriors, in the bigwigs, in the government, in the politician, in our wealth, in our health, in our works, in our abilities, and in our worth, and in our own righteousness. And as the children of Israel of old needed to repent, the world needs to repent. Especially the church that's in the world. She needs to repent of her worldliness. She needs to repent of her love of mammon, of money. She needs to repent of putting her trust in people, politicians, and nations, and wealth. And cry out to Almighty God in sackcloth and ashes, "Lord, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." We are not to put our trust and government leaders for security. And let me close with, what are you trusting?